Okay, we want to continue our teaching on things every pastor should know. We've been looking at the vision and purpose of both Universal Church and the local church, and then in that local church, how that pastor, whom I call the overseer, pastor being a gift, overseer being the position, the responsibilities that the overseer has. There's certain things that, most of the things, as far as God's message, if he doesn't convey God's message, the congregation can't know what God's message is for the church. So he has a responsibility of conveying, first off, the vision and purpose of the church, and then keeping the church going on course to where it fulfills the vision and purpose of God. Now, another thing about the pastor or overseer is you have to realize that ministry is a continuous service, which is sometimes inconvenient. Our ministry is not 8 to 5. It's 24/7, every day of the year. When people need you, people need you. You understand? And if you're not willing to do that, then I think you're doing everybody an injustice by being in the ministry. You can listen to all the medical reports you want to. Jesus would have thrown them all away, you understand. I mean, he'd minister all day and pray all night. God sustained him. And God will sustain us when we do our ministry. Okay, I'm not advocating losing sleep just over the thing of just to lose sleep. But what I'm saying is, when you're fulfilling your ministry and you're doing what you're supposed to do, then the Lord will help you where you can't help yourself. So we have a responsibility to the congregation. Or should I say it this way? We have a responsibility to the flock over whom the Holy Spirit has set us as overseers. So we're not to put that in a window of time. And ministry today so often becomes untouchable. I mean, even during the day, you can't get to them. Everything's screened. But you never get a person. You get voicemail. I'll call you back. Well, you may get my voicemail, but it's going to be because I'm not there to answer the phone. Because if I'm there to answer the phone, I'm going to answer the phone, whether it's in the office or whether it's at home. You understand? I believe that we have to be accessible in order to meet the needs. Okay? So don't look at ministry as 8-to-5 job. It's not. We have an accountability to God. If he's placed us over the sheep, then don't we care for the sheep? Can you imagine David saying, I think I'll take vacation and leave these old sheep out here by themselves tonight and just hope the bear and the lion doesn't come around? He had to be there where they were to protect them from the enemy that had come against them, didn't he? Hurts and needs, I found that they do not all transpire between the hours of 8 and 5. It's amazing how many of them transpire at night and then the early hours of the morning, isn't it? Well, think of it as you would a baby. You know, baby lying there and starts crying. Shut up, I'll take care of you in the morning. You wouldn't even think about that, would you? Well, I don't think an overseer would think that way either. If he's truly set by God, then he should be concerned about the crying. What's the problem? Not what's your problem. But what is the problem? And let's see if we can get this thing resolved. Okay? So we have to understand that the whole purpose of our being in ministry is to help hurting people. Jesus was accessible. I believe as ministers are to follow the same example. That we're to also be accessible. And then a pastor or overseer must realize, or any minister, that buildings and organizations are tools to fulfill God's mandate. They are not God's mandate. And so often we can get so caught up with the facilities that we forget the vision and the purpose for the facilities. Why are they there? Are they there for us to look at or for us to utilize? I think one of the biggest wastes that we see is a church operating 1 or 2 days a week. That's always bothered me. You have a $1 million building that you utilize 2 days a week or three. Why is it operating every day? And see, that's what I'd like to see. That's one of the things I desire to see. I desire to see the thing going 7 days a week. You understand? Day and night. It doesn't mean one person's doing all of it. One person can't do it all. That means that other ministries should be raising up and working together to accomplish that. You understand? You're exposing people to different gifts. Everything's not about teaching. There's a place for teaching, there's a place for preaching, there's a place for singing, there's a place for all the other gifts that God has in the body of Christ. Now, I'm not talking about social clubs. I'm not talking about gathering together for fundraising. I'm talking about ministry indeed. Okay? Just thought you needed to hear that. But we need to properly utilize the tools that God has given us. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh must not become our goal for ministry. And so often that's what that is. It's just, I like this, I like that. I'd like a bigger building. I want to change the color. I want to change the carpet. I want to do this. I want to do that. And all we're doing is focusing on the tools and not using the tools. That'd be like a mechanic walking around admiring his toolbox all the time. Opening the drawer, you know, well, I think I'll clean this. I think I'll rearrange this. I think I'll do this. Well, why don't you use them? That's what they're there for. We must be led by the Spirit of God who will always lead us toward God's vision and purpose for the church. I guarantee you, if we're led by the Spirit, it'll always coincide with what God has originally set as the purpose and vision of the church. They agree, you understand. The focus of the church must be upon the harvest, not the barn. Now, I know you've heard that several times, but you may hear it several more times. That we have to get our attention on why you have a barn. Why would you need a barn if you're never going to reap the harvest? As an investment in what? Certainly not in eternity. You see, our investments should be eternal investments. Yeah. We must learn and teach others how to be led by the Spirit. Now, here again, you can't teach what you don't know. So the first thing you do is learn to be led by the Spirit. Then it places you in a position to teach others how to be led by the Spirit. Now, you can't do it for them. And the basics are very simple. You constantly keep yourself exposed to the Word of God, and you're constantly listening inside. Now, I don't know how to tell you this. This is just the way that I do it. I choose not to hear what's going on outside unless someone's talking directly to me. Just like Ellen and Tanya may be having a conversation, I may be standing right here, but I honestly, unless they're very loud, I won't even know what their conversation is. Now, if I gave it my attention, I would know that. Well, what I've learned to do is not to get diverted on the outside. So if I'm sitting in a restaurant, I don't know the conversation going on in the booth behind me or next to me. Because if I start looking outside, I'm going to block my hearing. You understand? If I'm trying to know everything else, I'm not going to know what's going on in here. If I'm wanting to know what's out here, I won't know what's going on in here. I was just talking to someone about that today. Isn't it interesting how some people have to know everything? Car passes your house, you have to look through the blinds, pull back the curtain, whatever, you know. Well, if it's not crashing or sirens up, what's it to me? You understand? We don't even realize how diverted we are. Even in a church service, we don't realize how diverted we are. We get so caught up with singing. Open to page 25. We're going to sing the first, second, and fourth stanza. So what are we doing? We're just reading what the song said, and we call it worship. We call it worship. The bottom line is, our mind's not even on God. I wish they'd shut up. They're singing off key. You know what I'm talking about? We're diverted. We're not worshiping God. We're not in tune with the Spirit of God. We're locked into the externals rather than on the internal. Well, I think you should do this. I think you should do that. You do what you think you should do and leave me alone. Amen. You worship the Lord in your way, and you let me worship the Lord in my way. Don't put your demands on me. And see, this is what happens so often, even in a church service, we will impose on how people are to worship the Lord. My Bible says in spirit and truth. Now, I can't give you the details. I can just say, be sure what you're doing is true. Be sure it's by the Spirit, not by the flesh. But you do. You know, I can raise my hands and it not be by the Spirit. I can go through the motions. For my heart can be broken on the inside and you not even really know it on the outside. Sort of like Hannah praying for God to give her the child. Eli accused her of being drunk because he couldn't hear what she is saying. Sound like he's nosy to me. Doesn't he? Get locked in. Learn to listen for the Spirit. I'm not talking about listening for voices. The devil will oblige you if you start doing that. I'm just talking about putting yourself in a position to where you're not distracted with the externals, but you're more into the internal. If a person sings a song, now I want to show you how Satan works so against us. If a person is singing a song, I was like this in the secular world, you know, secular music, then at least let me hear the lyrics. I don't want the music louder than the words. It's called accompaniment. You know what accompany means? It doesn't mean you the major role. It means that you're in the background enhancing. Okay? So then we should hear, if we say we're giving a message in song, then we should hear the message. And it should be a message from God, and it should be scriptural. And it shouldn't be focused on us. You understand? Same way with preaching. People should hear what we're saying. You understand? Otherwise, you're not conveying a message. And we need to learn this. People say, well, you know, God's not afraid of noise. God likes loud and all that. Well, you know, we take all that stuff and go off on the deep end with it. You're not going to scare God with your noise. I'm very much aware of that. But I believe there's some ethics involved. I believe there's some respect for the Lord involved. You know, I'm not telling you whether or not the music should be fast or slow. That's what God wants at the time. David probably wasn't dancing to slow music. When they crossed the Red Sea, I mean, there's probably a real shindig, you understand? I suspect that they were going at it hard and heavy with those tambourines, you understand? Well, that's fine. You understand? But let's get out of the form of it, because then you're not following the Spirit. A lot of people today, it's almost become a fad to say, the Lord said. The Lord told me. When in reality, what you should say is, a thought came to me. Well, you better gauge that thought as to whether or not it was the Lord. Gauge it by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. Okay? Before you ever start conveying your thought. And everything that comes to you is not God. There is an angel of light, a messenger of light, that his whole objective is to deceive. And I think one of the biggest deceptions going on in the church today is through what we call worship. Because it isn't worship. It's not out of the Spirit. It's not truth. So, who sets that in order? Now, how many of you want to be a pastor? See, that's the responsibility, the oversight, to lead the church in the way it should go. And if a person doesn't know it, if you don't teach them, they'll never know it. You understand? If you don't teach the truth, people will never know the truth. If you don't say that's wrong, they'll never know that's wrong. Now, that doesn't make you the most popular man in town. But you're not in a popularity contest. You lay your life down for the sheep. Even if they turn on you, you still have to take care of it, right? You getting the picture? You learn how to be led by the Spirit, and then you teach people how to be led by the Spirit. The emphasis of the local pastor must not be upon pleasing the congregation and the community. It has to be upon pleasing God. And see, so often we get this totally out of whack. It's like putting the cart in front of the horse. We're more interested in what the people think than we are in what God thinks. Well, what will the community say about us? Well, hopefully they'll say there are people that follow God. They have a standard that's different. The pastor is to lead the congregation. He's not to be led by the congregation. Now, please hear my heart in this. We're not talking about dictatorship. We're talking about following the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not talking about following a person. We're talking about a person leading you to the Lord, trying to develop your relationship, a person trying to get you into the promised land. You understand? Not a person trying to build this empire for himself. And so many people today are trying to get a following. No, the objective of the oversight is to get you to follow Jesus, or it should be. And in order to do that, obviously we're going to have to tell you about him and lead you in that direction. I believe it's through this that we as ministers have influence in the community. If you're just like the community, it's just a dime a dozen. They see it every day. But if they see something different about you, they take notice. I'm not talking about weird. I'm talking about genuine. And if we're genuine people, if we're people of integrity, we're going to have influence in the community rather than allowing the community to influence us. And if you listen to the community, you'll compromise your standards. Don't do it. In order to properly lead and influence, I believe you have to be led by the Spirit of God. Because He's going to get us at the right place at the right time, and we depend upon Him to say the right thing, know when to speak and when to remain silent, and how to make the approach. Some things you may do gently. Some things may be more abruptly, with more force. There's a time that you're gentle with a person. There's a time that you're firm with a person. You have to know the difference. And being led by the Spirit is not something mystical. It's not something that's beyond reach. I think this is something that we have portrayed in days gone by as like you feet don't touch the ground or something like this. That's a real spiritual person. What do we mean by a spiritual person? Have you ever thought about that? I said, that's a real spiritual person. What does that mean? To me, if you say that's a real spiritual person, it would be telling me that they follow the inside more than the outside. Amen. But the people that they say are real spiritual people, I think, follow the outside a lot. Just an observation, okay? No, being led by the Spirit's listening inwardly, not outwardly. Go back, the pastor's not to be led by the congregation. You don't listen to what people are saying. You listen to what the Spirit of God's saying. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't hear things that are said. You take that before the Lord. And rather than them telling you what to do, it's like Jethro told Moses. He said, now, this, I'm paraphrasing, this is my counsel. Take it before the Lord, and if He's in agreement with it, do it. Well, it's not that you don't take counsel. But you take that counsel to the Lord and say, this is what I've heard. Is this what you want? And if it is, then do it. But if it isn't, don't do it. I don't care who gave you the counsel. Follow the Spirit of God. Do it God's way. Listen to the inside rather than looking at the outside. I said this earlier, but I will think it bears repeating. We as ministers need to be delivered from the people to where we're more conscious of what God thinks than what the people think. If we're constantly asking ourselves what God thinks, then we'll be more beneficial to the people because we'll be... We'll govern ourselves more to do it God's way. That certainly needs to occur in our churches today. We've misconstrued scriptural teaching in the multitude of counsel, their safety. In reality, we followed the counsel of the flesh. If you get 100 heathen counselors out there, you're going to get heathen counsel. You get religious counselors, you're going to get religious counseling. You get professional counselors, you're going to get professional counseling. That's why you need people that you know follow the Spirit of God and let them give you wise counsel Let them give you the counsel of God. You understand? It's not how much influence do they have. It's how much influence does God have over their lives. That's the people that can help you. That's the people that will protect you. That's the people that don't let you get out here and go astray. How many people have gotten into major trouble because the council around them didn't protect them and tell them the truth? You don't want to surround yourself with yes people. And I can tell you this right now, as overseers of a church, you get a board of directors, put people on there that aren't afraid to tell you the truth. You're not looking for approval. You're looking for wise counsel that will protect you. People that you believe are people that listen to the Lord. That's who you want to surround you. You definitely don't want to put somebody on there that doesn't listen to the Lord. I don't care if they have, if they're a billionaire. If they don't listen to the Lord, you don't want them. Because they're going to lead you astray. And if they lead you astray, then you'll end up leading the people astray. And then there is that accountability that we have to give for how we led the people. Where did we lead them? You understand? Did we lead them in the green pastures, beside the still waters, or we lead them into a desert land with no water? Say, well, God did that. No, He provided. If you can provide, go ahead. Jesus is identified in Isaiah 9:6 as a wonderful counselor. So why don't we go to Him for counsel? All of us. The Holy Spirit is within us for the purpose of giving us wise counsel, inward counsel. That's how He leads and guides us, you know, instructing us. And He's going to use the Word of God. The written Word of God's been given to us to reveal truths and principles for daily application. But if you don't know it, you can't apply it. It's amazing how many people are looking for counsel and it's right here at their fingertips. But they don't want to spend enough time to get the counsel. Well, tell me what it says. I don't have time to read it. I've had that said to me before. Now, my reply to that is you need to take time. If you get it on the inside of you, you're not going to have to be going everywhere else trying to find counsel. When seeking counsel from people, be certain that the people from whom you seek counsel are led by the Spirit of God. Otherwise, all you're going to receive is the opinion of a person. You don't need people's opinion. What do you think? What difference does it make? What does God think? That's what makes the difference. You don't want to know what I think. What you need to know is what God thinks. I can be as wrong as anybody. God can't be wrong. You understand? So we have to seek the counsel of God. We must learn how to prepare properly for ministry. Not how to prepare, but how to properly prepare. There is a difference, you understand. I've said this before, but I find that, matter of fact, I've heard this, a person say, well, I take a certain day, and that's when I prepare my message every week. Preparing a message. We need to prepare our hearts so we bring forth the right message. Now, that's not to say you don't prepare. You understand? It's not to say you don't study. It's not to say that you can't write notes. I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying your notes, without the inspiration of God, are nothing more than words on a piece of paper. I can't tell you how many times I've said, God, I have words on a paper. But You have the inspiration. And without You inspiring me, all I can do is give just information that I have written. But if you get in it, you can make it alive. You ever heard that? Have you ever sat under a ministry that could bore a hole in the wall? I mean, it was just so boring. I mean, you know, just dead. All you do, what, you can't hardly keep your eyes open. Just wait to get, man, I wish you'd hurry up and shut up. And then there are some times that you hear somebody, and they may be going. You think, wow, I didn't know it was that late. Why? Because the Spirit of God's there has got you captivated. See, the Lord captivates you. The devil bores you. Religion bores you. But the Lord can captivate you. We need to be inspired by God if we're going to properly deliver the Word of God. This is what we're talking about, being properly prepared. God's more interested in heart preparation than sermon preparation. Proclamation must be confirmed by demonstration. Practice what we preach. When we minister the Word of God to people, we must allow people the opportunity to manifest, allow the Word of God to manifest itself in people's lives. If we teach on salvation, being born again, and everybody in there is not born again, then we need to give people the opportunity to be born again that aren't born again. If we teach on healing, we need to give people the opportunity to be healed. Any subject, then many of the subjects, when you're discipling people, when you're dealing with people who are already born again, many of the things that you're doing is to mature them. In other words, it's something to get them more focused on the Lord and what the Lord wants them to do. Well, you can't do that by laying on hands. You provoke the thinking. Some messages, that's the whole thing. I'd rather for a person to think about things. Don't just respond out of emotion. But know what you're doing. Respond intelligently. Not through coercion. You understand? Because if you'll do it after you've thought about it, it'll be a quality decision that you make. And you can stick with it. But how many people have gone to the altar just because people wanted them to go to the altar and come back no better off than they were when they went up? You get on an emotional high. No, that's not what we're talking about. Minister the Word the way God has given it to you, and then give Him the opportunity to utilize that the way he wants to. If he wants to demonstrate it by saving somebody, then let him save them. Okay? And then also be sensitive in that. Don't just sit there and pull and pull and pull trying to get somebody to get saved. The Spirit of God's not dealing with their heart. If the Spirit of God's not dealing with them, you wasted your time. No man can come to Jesus unless the Father sends him. So if the Father hasn't sent him, you're blowing in the wind. That's where you'd be led by the Spirit. You're sensitive. If you've ever read the life of Smith Wigglesworth, during lunch, he would go sit and ask the Spirit of God to direct him who to witness to. And without fail, God would lead him to the person that needed to be witnessed to. And some of the testimony is the person died shortly after that. But they got saved before they died. Why? Because he's sensitive to the Spirit. You're not just out there. It's sort of like, you can see if a person got rebellion all over them. They don't even have to open their mouth, just walk down the street. You can just tell by the way they carry themselves, you know. Chip on their shoulder, you know. Mad at the world. Just looking for something. Just say something. Just say something. Now, if God leads you to that person, then go to them. Because you may be saying the right thing. But if you think, well, that person needs the Lord. Well, any fool knows that. But do they want the Lord? God knows that. He knows the heart of the person. And if we'll listen to him and get his heart, then we'll know who to talk to, when to talk to them. You understand? There's that time. It's amazing. There's people that I've been around for a long time and just never felt comfortable talking with them. And then all of a sudden, the timing's right. They just lead you right in to that conversation. Then you can talk to them without them putting up a wall, because they've been so burnt out on religious junk. And when they realize you're just sitting there talking to them and not preaching to them, it's amazing how much difference it can make and how God can get their attention. So we have to learn to be sensitive to the Spirit. Give people the opportunity to respond to whatever message God is delivering. Our sensitivity must be to the Spirit, not time for the opinions of men. I preached in a lot of churches, a lot of denominations that matter to me, you understand. But some of the places I've been in, they say, you have 10 minutes. Yeah. Well, I could say, well, I just won't even go up there for 10 minutes. Or I could say, Lord, you can do in 10 minutes what I can't do in 10 years. Amen. Now I'm just asking you to give me the message that they need to hear. You understand? But when you have the liberty and you see that the Spirit of God is wanting to move, then don't concern yourself with the time. I've been criticized. I remember getting to start ministering at 11 o'clock and deliver the message that God's given me. Then He wants to demonstrate and be there till 2 o'clock. Well, I missed lunch. Well, so did I. But it didn't bother me, because you're not thinking about lunch, so you're not hungry. The Spirit of God's feeding you. I have meat to eat that you know not of. Is that what Jesus said? And I promise you, when you're doing the will of God, time is of no essence. Do you understand? Now, if you're just there to be there, that's different. Probably hear your stomach growling by 2 o'clock. No, don't be time conscious. Be God conscious. And if you're put in a block of time, by all means, be God conscious to where you want to deliver what God wants delivered at that particular time, which I'm running out of. I have to be conscious of time in the college, especially with our recording, because I know that we only have so much time to record. So be sensitive to the Spirit. Don't concern yourself so much with the opinions of men. You understand? I wonder what they'll think. Doesn't matter what they think, it's what they need to hear. And if that's what God wants them to hear, would you deliver it? Ask God, ask yourself, what did God think about that? Did I do it correctly? And if you didn't, do it correctly the next time. Don't beat yourself up. Just say, Father, forgive me. I should have done this, and I didn't. And we'll keep growing in grace. Amen? Well, we're going to stop there, and we'll pick this thing back up at letter E, which is proper structure is vital to the operation of any ministerial organization or church. Okay?